Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord. Darkness seems to hide its face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking out precious minutes of your busy schedule and time to join me on the broadcast today. It is the Thursday edition of The Cross in the Desert. I've made a format adjustment that on Mondays I will feature stories from Iran, Saudi Arabia, all across the world, focusing in on the problems in Iran and the persecuted church. And then on Thursday, I will focus in on the current Bible study that I'm leading. And so I'm bringing you the message of hope and freedom in two different ways, on human rights on Monday and on Bible studies on Thursday. Now, a program note, tomorrow is International Women's Day, and going to have a special half-an-hour broadcast where I'll be reading from my books about women's rights and the reason I do what I do. It's going to be a very special, personal time, and I'll be sharing with you the passions, the struggles of women in Saudi Arabia and Iran. So you want to tune in on Friday. The time will also change. Instead of 9:30 Central Standard Time, it will be 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, just a half an hour difference because of some programming decisions I've made. Today, we are continuing on the life-transforming words and teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount with a particular study entitled The Beatitudes. I want to give a little bit of review for those of you who are not familiar with what I'm teaching. The Beatitudes come from the Latin word beatitudos, meaning happy, serene, blessed, and it's talking about the very core of us as human beings, our desire for happiness and joy in our life. And along comes the words of Jesus to challenge us with what we consider what true happiness really is. Most of us in our culture consider true happiness in possessions, power, prestige, career, etc. But Jesus says there is an inward contentment when we are obedient to his teachings, that there is an inward joy and a happiness for those that follow specifically the teachings of Christ. These teachings, these beatitudes, really amount to being characteristic traits of true Christians. In other words, those that call themselves by the name of Christ are going to adhere to and follow these teachings. And so that's what we've been doing so far in the last couple of weeks, is introducing and teaching on the topic of the Beatitudes. In the first week, we learned what Jesus meant when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we learned that this type of blessing, the first beatitude, is referencing not our physical poverty, but understanding and coming to grips with our spiritual poverty. When we recognize that we are like beggars, destitute, crying out for God's mercy, and recognizing that we have sinned, we have broken his law, and that therefore we have a problem entitled spiritual poverty. Jesus says when we recognized our spiritual need, our spiritual poverty, then salvation, or the kingdom of heaven, is opened wide for us, and we come in to that relationship with God through Christ when we recognize our spiritual poverty, our spiritual need. We're like the beggar at a banquet table, underneath the table, crying out for crumbs to fall from the table to the ground. That's the kind of beggar that Jesus was describing. The second beatitude that we learned last week is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Well, what does mourning mean? Well, the thing we realized is that the Beatitudes are intertwined like strings on a pearl. And so if we recognize our spiritual poverty, then we will be sensitive and we will mourn over our sinfulness. And we learned last week that we're not only mourning over personal sin, but we're mourning over the sins of our culture. And last week I gave the example of the pro-choice people who were shouting out their abortion, and they're laughing and they're being happy about this decision they made to terminate their pregnancy. And I said, in contrast, they should be mourning over their sin, mourning over the death of another human being that was inconvenient in their life, and they decided to terminate. They call it a fetus, but it's a living, breathing human being. And so last week, we talked about mourning over sin, mourning over the sin of our culture. Now this week, in Beatitude number 3, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That word meek has been so misunderstood over the course of many centuries. At the time of Jesus, the Roman culture was an iron-fisted culture. Excuse me. And they taught that a person had total control over their life, and that the way to right living was power, dominance, self-sufficiency. To hear the term meek, they would have laughed at it, because the term meek had the connotation of being a doormat, a wimp, a person you could easily trample upon, because the proud and the self-sufficient would insist on their own rights, their own personal power, their own personal might and strength. And so when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek," that would go against the grain of the teaching of that day. So when you hear this beatitude, you are going to recognize, if you're a student of Scripture, that meekness, blessed are the meek, is a reference to Psalm 37:11 that Jesus is referencing. The meek shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Well, let's look at the meaning of the term meek and understand it. What it does mean in contrast to what it does not mean. A person that is meek is a person who is humble and gentle of heart. It describes a person who is kind and considerate to others, even to those that oppose him. So a meek person is easily approachable. He's not prideful or resentful, not temperamental or harsh. Now, the other traits I'm describing are those of a person who lives his life in a very self-centered way. You can't approach this person. This person is filled with pride and self-sufficiency. They're resentful. They're very easily temperamental. They're very harsh in the way they treat others. But the meek person is kind and considerate. And the important distinction is that a meek person is not only kind and considerate to others, but a person who is meek treats with respect those that oppose him or her. So it's not easy to be a meek, humble, and gentle person around the proud, the arrogant, the resentful. So meekness is an outward expression of an inward humility, strength, and spiritual poise. So others in our culture, in the power-hungry, self-centered culture, are going to act aggressively, prideful, resentful. But the meek person will walk in godly peace. When others are banding about claiming their personal rights, the meek instead will focus on their duties. While others are busy seeking revenge, the meek simply says, God has the final say. And he walks away, letting God be the proper judge. And God is the one who will bring vengeance, not me. So meekness does not imply weakness. It's not some subdued person with a false sense of modesty. But instead, meekness portrays a man who willfully and joyfully considers his own life really worth nothing. Excuse me. Still fighting this sinus infection. So in the Bible, meekness is commended. This quality is a fruit of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. We could say meekness is the power of gentleness. It really describes Jesus. For Jesus talked about this when he said, "Come to me, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon yourself, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Another way of saying, I am meek. So meekness describes Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and meekness characteristic of who we are. Christian leaders are to be meek. So in the historical setting that Jesus was teaching this, I mentioned the Romans, the Greeks, and the Jews. All of them fought for their supremacy. The Jews took pride in their race. They felt superior to other people. The Romans took pride in their power. They're the greatest empire in the world. And the Greeks, pride in their knowledge. We have produced the greatest minds of all the ages. But notice Jesus and his teaching goes contrary to all of these qualities. Jesus is not asserting the proud, the aggressor, but rather he's talking about being poor in spirit and being meek. And what is the reward that God promises those that are meek? They will inherit the earth. What a powerful promise. 200 times in the Bible, the word inherit is used. It's used in the Old Testament. The patriarchs, the promise prophets, look forward to the promised land as a fulfillment of great blessings. Inheritance is seen as a legacy and a gift. And the Bible says that the meek will be the heirs and the partakers of God's kingdom, that they will inherit the earth. Again, meekness is that humility toward God and toward others that Jesus wants us to exemplify in our lives. It's having the right or the power to do something, but refraining for the benefit of someone else. The Apostle Paul taught this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And that describes that characteristic of meekness. Meekness, as I've said, models the humility of Jesus Christ, who was in the very nature God, the Bible teaches, but he did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. Here is meekness. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Being in the very nature of God, Jesus had the right to do anything he wanted, but for our sake, he submitted to death on a cross. And this is the ultimate in meekness. And so therefore, because Jesus himself perfectly modeled meekness, he could tell us as true followers, we are to be meek. And the promise is we will inherit the earth. In the Old Testament, Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth, Numbers 12:3 says. In the same way, believers are called to share the gospel message in gentleness and meekness. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And the King James Version translates the word gentleness here in this passage as meekness. So in conclusion, someone who knows Christ as their personal Savior will be growing in meekness. And it seems so counterintuitive to our culture. But again, Jesus is teaching the core of contentment and happiness, the blessings, the blessedness of a person is one who follows my teachings, who considers themselves poor in spirit, who mourns over their sin, and who has a character trait of meekness, living in humility and being willing to forego one's rights for the benefit of someone else, models this attitude. Meekness helps us to really portray the gospel as we not only share in words the message of the cross, but we live our lives before an unbelieving world in the power of meekness, striving for power, excuse me, and prestige is not the path to blessedness. Meekness is the path to blessedness. I want you to hear this beautiful rendition of Chris Tomlin's song, Jesus, right now, who perfectly powered meekness. beautiful worship music of Chris Tomlin. That's the acoustic version of Jesus. And Chris will be here, I believe it's this month here in St. Louis, and wish I had the time off to go see him. He is an extraordinary Christian worship artist. And when you go to hear his music, it's not a concert. It's a worship celebration. But again, Chris is singing about Jesus, who perfectly modeled what we're talking about this morning. That concept of meekness, that character trait of meekness, it's not a weak person. It is not a person who is a doormat. It is not a person who is cowering. It is a person of great inner strength and character. It is gentleness under the control of the Spirit. The power of meekness is what our culture needs. That attitude of humility, that person who walks in the power of meekness, is a very powerful person, powerful in character, in grace, in humility. Yet our culture today is anything but meek. It's assertive and prideful. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Earlier I mentioned that Jesus is in the very nature of God, the Bible teaches. He set aside his rights and privileges. He removed his royal robe, if you will, and stepped down from his throne in heaven and became man. God took on human flesh. He didn't come proclaiming his rights and insisting on his rights. Yet, he was still very God of very God. He came instead as a humble bondservant to serve humanity in his meekness and in his grace, and in the end, to give his life for our freedom, for our salvation. He gave up all of his rights and privileges, becoming meek and lowly and humble of heart. He gave his life to save us from our sin. He gave his life up. In exchange, we received his perfect righteousness. And so today, if you don't know Christ, the meek and humble of heart, as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you will come to know him and come to treasure him. He is our only hope, and he stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He doesn't conquer by the sword. He comes by invitation only. I thank you for spending this last half an hour on our teaching of the Beatitudes. I will see you tomorrow for a special International Women's Day broadcast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale,